Aranyakashipu. Aranyakashipu. Bratuhu of the brother. Samparetasya. Deceased. Dukhitaha. Being very much distressed. Kritva. Performing. Akatodaka adini. Ceremonies observed after a death. Ratriputran, the sons of his brother. Asantvayat, pacified. The translation, after performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Aranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. So you can repeat. After performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Aranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. So there's no purport to this text, nor the next two texts, three texts, and so we'll continue reading until we get a purport. So texts 18 to 19. Shakunim shambharam drishtim utas santapanam vrakam kalanabham mahanabham harishmashrum atot kacham tanmataran rushabanum titim cha jananim gidha ashlakshnaya deshakalagya Idam Maha Janeshvara. O king, Aranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Shukuni, Shambhara, Drishti, Bhutasanthapana, Rikka, Kalanava, Mahanava, Arish Mashu and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them all as follows. Text 20. Shri Aranyakashipu Uvacha Ambhambahe Vatu Putra Viramarhatta Shochitum Ripurabhi Mukeshwagya Shurhanam Vada Ipsitaha. Aranyakashipu said, my dear mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable. Text 21. Bhutaramiha sangvasa rapayam ivisuvrate daivinai katra nittanam unittanam svakarmabhihi. My dear mother, in a restaurant or a place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. It's Krishna conscious philosophy. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai. Prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva saha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Sri Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 27. All living entities act exactly according to the directions of prakriti, material nature, Because in the material world, we are fully under a higher control. Interesting statement. Where's the free will? All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment, and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonment. It's like, you know, in the prison cell, you just happen to have a few friends and prisoners, and then they move you to another prison cell. As criminal prisoners scattered as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpools and later dispersed again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus, the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother, and nephews, was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Second Chapter, Text 13, as follows. Atak pumbir dvija shreshta varnashrama vivagashaha swanustitasya dharmasya sang siddhir haditoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve is by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to its caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A lot of different information here. So, Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, the most interesting thing here is that we're finding a demon who is preaching Krishna consciousness. And so, how is this? I mean, generally, in modern society, there's so many demons, and we don't find them preaching Krishna consciousness that much. So let's analyze the word demon. Actually, there's two different types of demons. One type are the descendants of Diti and Danu. And they're the high-class demons. Why are they high-class demons? Basically, because they have good parents. Like you have Diti and Danu, they're both wives of Kashyapa. And Kashyapa was a very high-class Brahmin. He just had a little moment of indiscretion. Isn't it? Like, it's described that Diti, she just like became lusty, tugged at his dhoti at an inappropriate moment, and he didn't have the right consciousness. Because if you know, as described by Srila Prabhupada, that one's consciousness at the time of conception determines what type of child will be born, and also it has a lot to do with the time of the day, as pointed out by Kashyapa, because this was the twilight hour when Lord Shiva was hanging around with all his associates. And so everything was done inappropriately, and as a result, you had Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha being born. However, because they also had some, as we say, good genes or qualities of the father and the mother, I mean, they both were high-class entities. They weren't just like street bums. Therefore, they had spiritual knowledge, too. And of course, also, they were both incarnations of Jaya and Vijaya. I mean, there's many different reasons for that. I mean, you find a similar story there with Ravana. His father was Vishravas, and his mother was Kekasi. His mother was actually like from the demon family, but she was just an educated demon. She was sent on a mission by her parents to create a very powerful demon, and the only way there would be a powerful demon is if you would do this mixing between a demon and a Brahmin, a powerful Brahmin. Just like many years ago, there was this person named Luther Burbank. He didn't do the same thing, obviously. But he was very interested in crossbreeding. You've heard of him before?
Yeah.
He was very, and they actually named a city after him in California. Of course, the city's called Burbank. So he was very interested in crossbreeding plants to come up with something that was actually more useful for human beings, you know, like some sort of fruit or something like that. So this crossbreeding, knowledge has been there for millions of years. So the demons have this knowledge of crossbreeding, so they crossbred this Kekasi with Vishravas. And Vishravas was so nice that his previous son, from previous marriage, was Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. I mean, very, very high-class person. But Kekasi sort of lured Vishravas into a conjugal relationship, and actually it's described that Vishravas had an ashram there, and all of his brahmacharis left him because they became so disgusted with him falling in love with a demon. It's interesting. Interesting story from the Ramayana. Anyway, so in any case, Ravana, because he had this mixed family, he's very similar to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. He was extremely educated. It's described that his pronunciation of the Vedic mantras was so good that the demigods would even sometimes invite him there just to check the pronunciation. I mean, he was so expert in Vedic knowledge. So the point I'm bringing out is it's not necessarily, or it's not the point of being expert in Vedic knowledge that gives you Krishna consciousness, or gives you what Hiranyakashipu is attempting to give to his relatives right now, detachment. Because you can tell a person, if you don't have spiritual potency, you can tell a person again and again and again they're not the body, or be detached, and it's going to have no effect. And also, even if you have spiritual potency, you can tell the person again and again and again, but the person is just like, what is it? Vatirna Krishna Paritos Vitova. That's Prahlad Maharaj's statement. Matirna Krishna Paritos Vitova. That if one doesn't want to hear, doesn't accept a Krishna conscious knowledge, is just stubborn, Matirna Krishna. He's taking a vow to try to enjoy this material world. It'll have no effect. That he'll simply go on, as Prahlad Maharaj says, what? Chewing the chewed. Even if you give someone good instruction. So this is an important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm going to tell a story that illustrates this point. It's a very interesting story. This is actually from the Bhagavad Mahatmya. There's different literatures that actually glorify the Bhagavatam, and there's also the Gita Mahatmya. Mahatmya means that the glorification of the Gita, the glorification of the Bhagavatam. So this is a wonderful story that illustrates this particular point. And I love this story, actually, as I do all stories. So here's it. Once upon a time, there was a Brahmin, a very good Brahmin, and his name was Atmadev. And he was really a pure Brahmin, but he was extremely attached to his home, his hearth, and home. What does hearth mean, actually?
Fireplace,
yeah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that directly. You know, it just means, you know, all the accoutrements, you know, the things connected with the house. What, keep the home fires burning, as they say? Doesn't mean you have a fire in your home. So anyway, he was very attached to his hearth and home. And he married this lady named Dunduli. And he really didn't pay too much attention as far as like having a proper marriage, because she was really an evil creature. Dunduli. I mean, it sounds bad. So and she was so bad that because she was so evil that she couldn't have children. She didn't want to have children. The reason she didn't want to have children is because we just didn't want to get fat. And the reason she didn't want to get fat is because she thought that way I'll have less room in my stomach to eat. Interesting, isn't it? because if you have something else growing there, the stomach... Anyway, that's what the Bhagavad Mahatma says. It's not my version. So anyway, so she didn't want to get pregnant. She was so evil that even the cows couldn't get pregnant. Just being around her. But he was attached. Even though he had all this spiritual knowledge, he was really attached to having a kid. So what he did is he went and started performing austerities, chanting Om in the forest for days on end, not eating. He said, I can't live without having a kid. Okay. So what happened is that he ran into the sannyasi. And he said to the sannyasi, Maharaj, I got to have a kid. And Maharaj did his astrological calculations. Took out, sometimes they use ashes or tea leaves or something like that. But anyway, he used astrology. And he said, look, basically you're not supposed to have a kid for 7 births. So get used to it. And so he still wouldn't get used to it. I mean, just that someone is so attached, even though he was actually a good brahmana, like Matirna Krishna, just so attached. He couldn't hear. I mean, you find similar story like Chitraketu. He wasn't supposed to have a kid. And, he tried one wife after another. There's described 10 million wives, of course. Sometimes that's considered to be hyperbole, an exaggeration. Like so many wives, there's like 10 million. I guess after 100, it's the same as 10 million. Right? I don't see any difference between 10 million and 100 as far as like headaches that you get. So anyway, so getting back to the story of this Brahmin, Atmadev, and so he just said to the sannyasi, but I gotta have a kid. And the sannyasi said, okay, this guy's attached. I gotta make some plan to detach him. And so what he did is he gave him a fruit, like an apple or some sort of fruit, and he said, give this to your wife to eat. And if your wife eats it, she'll have a child. Oh, and he's like, Jai, how do you go? So he went back to his wife, and he gave his wife this fruit and said, my dear Dunduli, Priya, I want to have a child if you eat this fruit. And she was thinking, the same thing she was thinking before, if I eat this fruit and it works and I get pregnant, I can't eat so much anymore. Yeah, she's a very evil lady. And so she went to her sister, and she said to her sister, my dear sister, Ben, that's sister, help me with this endeavor. And the sister said, all right, let's make a deal. Sister said, I'm pregnant, but I don't want my kid. So when I give birth, I'll give you my kid, and I'll just tell my husband and everybody I had a miscarriage. And you just put a pillow in your stomach. So you look pregnant, and then, I'll give you my baby. And so Dunduli said, that's a great idea. I don't have to have a kid. And they were thinking, what are we going to do with this fruit? I don't want to eat the fruit. Maybe the benediction is true. So she just saw a cow there. And she gave the fruit to a cow. That's an interesting part of the story. And so anyways, so Dunduli's sister gave birth to a son. His name was Dundukari. And Dundukari was given to Dunduli. And Dunduli, of course, she didn't have any breast milk because she was never pregnant. So that she had to let her sister breastfeed the kid. So this Dundukari, because her sister was bad, Dunduli's sister, and Dunduli was bad, had all bad qualities. I mean, really bad qualities. I mean, it's unbelievable. He'd kill his friends, something like Vena, but in a Brahmin family. So he was kill his friends. At the same time, this Calla was given the fruit, gave birth to a baby boy. And this baby boy had ears like a cow. So therefore he was known as Gokarna. It's a famous story, actually. So he had ears like a cow. And so, but he was a great personality. He was always chanting the holy names, and he went on pilgrimage, even as a little kid. But his father, as I mentioned, his father, who actually wanted a good son, became very disturbed by having this horrible son, Dundakari, as a son. And so he went to his other son, Gokarna, because the village was very happy with this. The father had two sons like that. And even that a cow had given birth to a little baby boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? And so he went to his son, Gokarna, and said, "My dear son Gokarna, you're a great saint. Tell me, what can I do?" And Gokarna gave him the same advice that the sannyasi had given to him previously. You know, head for the hills. You know, you should give up everything. And at this point, because he'd gone smashed so much, he got a little detached, and he was able to hear nicely. So sometimes that happens. You know, what is that? Yashaham anugrinami harishe tadanamshanai. For those who I especially favor, Krishna says, you know, I take away everything, and then they can chant nicely. Because as long as one is attached, what janmaishvarya shrutashishivirayadamana adapuma, as Queen Kunti says, then one can't really surrender to Krishna. So you have to really lose hope, come to the point of being hopeless about enjoyment in this material world before you can actually completely take shelter of Krishna. Because if you have hopes of enjoyment, it's like you can't be in both worlds at the same time. You know, the spiritual world, the material world. You have to just think, there is no enjoyment. You have to be convinced that there is no enjoyment in this world. So anyway, this gentleman, Atmadev, he just left and went to the woods. And he became very, very happy. So Dundakari was left with his mother. And Dundakari, being very, very cruel, started to torture his mother. He was actually abusing his mother in many different ways. I mean, just like torture the poor lady. Finally, she committed suicide, feeling, you know, this is too much. I have a son just like me, but unfortunately, he is like me. And so she commits suicide, and so Dundakari just like let it all hang out at that point, and he became completely so evil. It's an interesting story. He became completely evil that he was torturing people, and he was living with, I think, 5 prostitutes, and spending all of his family's money, all the money that his father had acquired, his mother had acquired, on the prostitutes. But what he didn't understand, this Dundakari didn't understand, that after the money runs out, the love stops. You understand? The prostitutes lost interest, so his money ran out, and not only did the prostitutes, he had some little stuff left, and the prostitutes thought, we got to get rid of this guy. So what they did is they tried choking him, and he didn't die. And then they put some hot coals in his mouth to finally kill him and buried him in the ground. I mean, pretty heavily. Hellish, isn't it? So they did all that. And finally, the guy dies. Dundakari dies. But because he was so sinful, he did not take a gross body again. He was a ghost. You know, like a raksha, Brahma Rakshasa. They were the most dangerous types of ghosts because he was born in the Brahmin family. So Brahma Rakshasa, and he was haunting everybody. Finally, remember Gokarna, the guy with the cow ears. He comes back. He's on pilgrimage, chanting Hare Krishna, Nitai Gauranga. I don't know if it was Nitai Gauranga because Lord Chaitanya hadn't appeared at that point. But anyway, he was on pilgrimage, chanting the Lord's holy names. He comes back home to his ancestral home, and he tries to take rest that night, and he's haunted. I mean, this Dundakari appears like in all these different like horrendous animals and tigers and everything, and he But he's not scared because he's a devotee. He's avaya sattva sam shuddhi jnana yoga vavastatihi. Prabhupada actually said, it's from Gita, of course, these are the qualities of a sannyasi. Avaya, being free from fear, sattva sam shuddhi, established in the mode of goodness, jnana yoga, that is, having transcendental knowledge, vavastatihi. So, he asked this ghost, you know, who are you? Who are you, Prabhu? And the ghost said, I'm your brother, Dundukari. And you got to find a way to free me from this situation. And so, this Gokarna, he was bewildered. He said, look, I've been praying for you. I've gone to all the places of pilgrimage, done Pinda, you know, done all the austerities imaginable for your benefit and the benefit of my family, and you're still a ghost? Because it's so sinful that even if you do all these things, you're not going to relieve someone from the ghostly situation, all these different pious activities. You know, mundane pious activities, of course. And so this Gokarna was bewildered. He said, you know, what can I do? What can I do? So finally, He thinks the only person to answer this question I have is the sun god. So because he was a great yogi, he was able to stop the sun in his path. It's an interesting story, actually. And he asked the sun god, what should I do? The sun god said, hey, have a Bhagavatam class. Have a Bhagavatam class. And You should recite the Bhagavatam. And he was a pure devotee, too. So this Gokarna was a pure devotee. So Gokarna calls everybody together. We're going to have a Bhagavatam class. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and he invited Dundukari to attend. Dundukari was in 7 stalks of bamboo. You know, he resided in the bamboo, somehow in a subtle form. So every day they were giving Bhagavatam class. One stick split. And so after 7 days, Dundukari comes out, and he comes out as in a spiritual body. And the Vaikuntha airplane takes him back to home, back to Godhead. So the point of the story is that, first of all, detachment doesn't arise, even if you like with Gokarna's father, even if you have good instruction, unless you're actually ready to hear. So like Prabhupada said, there has to be a proper reciter and a proper hearer of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the transmission of spiritual knowledge to take place. So what we're hearing here, it's Hiranyakashipu is not the proper reciter, and his nephews are probably not the proper hearers. So they're not getting detached. Nor is Hiranyakashipu getting detached, because he still remains angry. If he actually believed what he was saying, not just using it as a political means, as Prabhupada points out here, he's an expert politician. If he believed what he was saying, then he would give up his anger towards Lord Vishnu, right? But instead, he was just trying to pacify. He's like, I want to pacify these relatives so I can get on with my real business of attacking Lord Vishnu. Let me get these relatives out of the way. So real detachment doesn't arise until you're ready to hear. And then you have to hear from the right person. And when you hear from the right person, and even Dundukari was ready at that point to hear, isn't it? Before that, he was just a demon. So even if you're a demon and you just like have given up all hope of material enjoyment, Muradina Hina Yata Chilo Harina Mudurilo, if you hear the holy names, if you hear the Bhagavatam, which is also Krishna Katha, you can become liberated. Just like we were talking last night, how faith is not a necessary prerequisite, right, for bhakti. Remember? You were giving that class last night. So because if you're at the point where you're ready to hear, somehow or other you're ready to hear, then hearing gives you that faith. And the same thing with Dundukari. The hearing, he had no faith, he had no good qualities, but he was so much in distress that he was ready to hear submissively. Shru, shru, shru. Shradadanasha Vasudeva Kata Ruchishan Mahatsivya Vipra Punyatirta Deshevana. And actually, Bhagavatam describes it in the verse I just quoted, that that is service. I mean, sometimes devotees will say, you know, I want to do some service. What about hearing? Hearing is service. Chanting is service. It's not just like mowing the grass is service. Of course, that is service. But all service is dependent upon shravanam. I was listening to a class Prabhupada was talking about the nine processes of devotional service. He said you can execute any one of the nine properly, but he said they're all dependent upon shravanam. Hearing. Because without hearing, you won't know how to chant shravanam kirtanam, how to remember, how to serve the lotus feet, how to become a servant, how to, oh, certainly you won't know how to atmani vedanam. You won't know how to surrender everything to the Lord. So hearing is the most important service. So when we chant our japa in the morning, we should take that as service to the Lord. Not just thinking, when can I get on with my real life? Or like Prabhupada gave that funny example one time, holding his japa bag and pulling down the counter beads. He said, when he pulled them all down, he says, now, 16 rounds, and I can do any damn thing. So we shouldn't be thinking like that. This hearing is the most important thing we can do. Okay, so we got a minute and a half. So any questions or comments about any of these points?
This story you said from
Bhagavat Mahatmya.
Yeah. What can you find?
Where can you find it? There's a Bhagavat Mahatmya. You can read the Bhagavat Mahatmya. There's also Gita Mahatmya that actually... ISKCON actually published this CD many years ago that had the Gita Mahatmya in it. Do you remember that? It was a... Someone you may remember. That we, for distribution, it was a CD. Like, a, you know? You know
we have Gita Mahatmya in the school.
Yeah, you have the Gita Mahatmya. So you can find a copy of the Bhagavad Mahatmya. I mean, on the internet or something. But... anyway, ISKCON did publish, it was like in a little folder. Does anyone remember that? It was in a little folder and it had the Gita Mahatmya, you know, the benefit of reading this chapter or that chapter of the Gita. This is called Shruti Pala. Shruti Pala means the fruits of Shruti, the fruits of hearing. So,
When you said that example of Srila Prabhupada, when he said, I can do any damn thing, was he just being sarcastic?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I hope everybody understands that.
So now we have this idea about hearing. You can attain, know everything. And there's different devotees that are like chanting more rounds, 32 rounds. Is it that you can just chant your japa?
No, it's quality. It's quality. It's not just quantity. You know, it's the quality of hearing. Like that was the point I was making. One has to actually be... Take full shelter. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkor. That's the same thing Lord Chaitanya teaches in the Shikshastra. I'm your eternal servant. How are they fallen down to this heart? We don't consider this to be a horrible ocean of birth and death. The direct translation says a horrible ocean of birth and death. We consider it to be a good ocean. We want to go surfing or suffering, as Prabhupada said. I probably call the surfers sufferers. So, you know, waiting. We're actually waiting for the good wave that never comes. You know, we got out, and the wave never comes. Or we get what? Like one time, Mayapur Chandra took me surfing in the Makapu Beach, and the wave pushed me down in the sand and made me miserable and scraped my stomach up and everything like that. And he said, it was nice. And I said, that was miserable. Okay, Radhika Lokananda ki jai, Shri Shri Radhika Lokananda ki jai.